So in our gospel lesson today, Jesus sends the 12 out. And certainly at the end of the gospel of Matthew, that sending is really extended out. Go out. There's a solid command found in Christ's words. As I read through the first part that of chapter 9 today, I couldn't help but think this week, a little alliteration, kind of make it easy to understand. It also lets you know where we're at in the sermon. That's the downside, but it's an alliteration nonetheless. Compassion, commandment, and consequence. We're called. We're commissioned. It's a commandment. It's not more of a suggestion. And Jesus did it himself and gave authority to his disciples, those who believed in him, those who followed him, to get out there. Jesus saw the people. Gospel says so. And he had compassion on them. He felt, in some ways, sorry for them. I picture myself, again, my imagination, maybe our Savior standing up on a hill, somewhat slightly elevated, and looking down upon the crowds coming. They were harassed, and they were like a sheep without a shepherd. They just wandered aimlessly to and fro, looking for something to sustain their lives. A little grass here, a little grass there, wandering back and forth. That's the focus. Get out there. Go out there and tell them about what I taught you and I commanded you. Baptize them. Bring them into the fold. For he is the great shepherd. Compassion, a concern for the sufferings and the misgivings of others. Or if you take it down to its Latin root, it means co-suffering. I'm going to know what it's like to suffer because I want to be there with you. That's what Jesus did. Fully God, he took on humanity with the intention, with the knowledge that the focal point of my ministry as a man is to die on a cross for those people who I want to be a part of my house. As we read, very seldom will a man die for another. Maybe a good man, but Christ came while we were sinners, while we were pushing away and rejecting the desire for a God to be in our life. He came and died for us. When I taught Sunday school, high schoolers always had a problem with, if he's such a great God, how could he die on a cross? How could he be flogged? I mean, if he really is that powerful, how could he do that? I ran across this little, illustration. And from what I found, it appears to be a true illustration. Certainly the illustration itself holds true for this sense. But it has to do with the late Colonel Sanders. Every one of you can picture Colonel Sanders in your head. Got the white jacket and the little black bow tie and white hair. But the story goes, he was on an airplane, and from the time, and you know this if you've been on an airplane, from the time that airplane went out on the tarmac and flew up in the air, and while it was in the air, right next to him, there was a child, young lad, a young baby, just screaming. Their ears were probably hurting, be my guess. The mother and the flight attendant, they tried everything, and that child would not stop screaming. And Colonel asked if he could hold the baby, and he did, and he rocked it and patted its back, and that baby ended up falling asleep. And a passenger, after he handed the baby back to the mom, a passenger came up and said, "Thank you. I really appreciate what you've done for us." And the colonel said, "I didn't do it for you. I did it for the baby." It's a funny story. But that's the answer for why did God, an all-powerful God, die on a cross? If he's that powerful, how can he let people capture him and whip him and flog him and hang him on a cross? He didn't do it for himself. He did it for you. He had compassion. He saw how wandering we were. We wandered to and fro like sheep without a shepherd. He had compassion. We have to have compassion. We live in a world where people just don't care. And sometimes it's very difficult to stay compassionate, and it's very easy to get angry with people who just don't want to hear it. I don't want to know about your God. Don't tell me about it anymore. There are people within the church, within the Christian church, who say, I just don't want you to know about Jesus. It's just not that important. We have a good God who's so powerful that he can just bring everyone into his house and nothing's going to happen to those that don't believe because he can save them. He did. He sent his son. Pastor Bob Hartman used to always say, there's a sermon in there somewhere. It doesn't matter what the circumstances was. It could be the most strange circumstances in the world. I would say, singing Hark the Herald Angels Sing in a Pentecost Sunday is a pretty strange circumstance. But it points to the truth. When the time was right, God sent his son. Or as some translations go, in the fullness of time. Right at the perfect time. And Jesus said, go out, don't go to the Gentiles, don't go to the Samaritans, go tell the Jewish people they're missing it. The kingdom of God is near. It's right in front of your eyes. There's no other way to the Father except through the Son. Commandment. Jesus said, the whole scriptures point to me. Go read the Old Testament from Genesis all the way up to the end of the Hebrew scriptures, and they all tell of me. The prophets, those who came in there, they all said, there's one coming. Jewish people know that. They're still waiting for the Messiah. The Messiah came. Our commandment is to go, teach, baptize. We're going to have a bunch of kids in here this week. And it's going to be wonderful. They're going to be yelling and screaming and we're going to be jumping and the place will be decorated and they're going to have these goodies downstairs that are going to look like sea monsters and they'll eat them up. And you know what the most important thing is? Jesus loves you. There is a God. He sent his son. His son died for you so that you might know him and come to true life through him. Nothing else matters. Not the decorations, not the music, and not the goodies. That's what we're here to proclaim. Everything else is subordinate. We've got to keep things in perspective. It's nice. It's really nice to have fun things. I want them to have a great time. I want them to leave here exhausted. I want them to sleep through the night. But I want them at the end of the week to know that Jesus Christ is Lord. We just don't want to tell people the truth anymore. And I don't say that as we being here in Lighthouse, I mean collectively. People don't want to hear it, and society just doesn't want to proclaim a truth, which makes it difficult. But you know what? If I tell you over and over again, don't touch that hot burner, it will burn you. And you walk over and you touch it anyways, it doesn't matter what you believe, the burner is going to burn you. We need to just tell them that Christ is Lord. Let the Holy Spirit do the work. That's what's great about being Lutheran. We don't count how many souls we've saved because we don't do any soul saving. It's all in the work of the Holy Spirit. We just got to get out there and tell them. That's it. I like it that way. And finally, consequence. There are positive and negative consequences. We read it in the gospel today. For those that allow you in the house, give them your peace. Let peace rest upon that home. That's what I love about house blessings. You know, when we started Lighthouse, we had a lot of house blessings, and they've kind of tapered off. I want the peace of Christ to rest upon your home. Your home is truly a place where you escape the rest of the world. You go home to people that love you, regardless of the problems you have, regardless of what happened at work. Regardless of how your car's running or the $1,000 repair you got to put into it, you walk through the door and your home is a place of solace. Your sanctuary. And I want the peace of Christ to rest upon that home. The cares of the world behind you. And if you're not interested in hearing of Christ, then His peace will not rest upon your home. It's a consequence. If there's no one in that village, the days of Sodom and Gomorrah and the judgment passed on them will be better than what awaits the judgment. There is a consequence. We can heal people. Say, we're not healing people. No, the Holy Spirit still heals people. I don't heal people. I don't know of any pastor in the world that heals people. But we give the healing peace of Christ. As I was having my breakfast outside today, I was listening to a pastor on Word FM, and I don't recall his name. I've not listened to his message before. But he was giving a sermon, and he was talking about, just the different things that had gone on in his father's life. And his father truly lived to tell people of Jesus. He didn't graduate high school, his father. He had no formal seminary training. And his focus was on, I just want to tell people that God loves them. And He loves them so much that He brings them to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. No other way. You can't worship Allah. You can't be a Buddhist. You only go to the Father through the Son. It's a very narrow gate. And he said, as his father got up in age, he said he looked back on his life and he was recalling what great gifts he could give. And the greatest gift was the passing of the gospel. We read it in Romans today. It's a free gift. It's there for the taking. The only thing you can do is reject it. And it sits right out there for you. And He's done it for us. Prophets, apostles, disciples, you name it. He says, go tell everyone what I've done. Go tell them all what I've taught you. Tell them to obey. Have compassion on them. That reflects back to me, because I get angry when people... It's not just that they don't want to hear about God, but they're actually angry. And they want you to go away, and they don't believe it. And they throw everything out there in the path and say, He doesn't exist. That makes me angry. But I think we should still have compassion on them. You got to be resolute. Don't give up. Know that it's the work of the Holy Spirit. I'll give you my last illustration here. This is from Dwight Moody. Dwight Moody was a good man. But he told this story, and this one is true. Dwight Moody said when he was in Boston, he used to attend Sunday school class. Keep this in mind, all those who teach. He used to attend Sunday school class, and one day... He says, my teacher came up behind me at the counter shop and he put his hand on my shoulder and he told me about Jesus Christ and my soul. I had not felt that I even had a soul up to that point. And I thought to myself, what a strange thing. A man who really only sees me once a week and certainly not very often. And a tear came from his eyes and he said, I weep for you. I want you to know the gift of Jesus Christ. But I understand it now. I understand it, says Moody. To shed a tear and to have a passion for men's souls and to weep over them. And I don't remember what he said that day exactly, but I can still feel the power of that man's hand on my shoulder as if it's happening right here tonight. The concern and the compassion and the tears of a godly teacher told me of Jesus Christ. And he spread that message. And he saw many souls come to realize that free gift and what it meant to be truly saved in Jesus. It's easy to get angry. I'll tell you that from experience. But it's a godly thing to have compassion. Sometimes we got to shake the dust off, but that doesn't mean we should lose the compassion. So go. T teach. Let those children and those adults be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, the triune name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, so they may know the true gift of life. Amen.